Welcome back to another edition of MMA Rated Radio. Ariel Helwani here, being joined today by arguably the greatest welterweight champion in MMA history. Of course, his name is Matt Hughes. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking. You know what I noticed when I was, you know, just getting mentally prepared to talk to you? You're one of the few mixed martial artists out there without a nickname. Why is that?
I just never felt I really needed a nickname, to be honest. I'm an easygoing guy. I grew up in the Midwest, and I just want to be known as the guy who was born and raised on the west side of town.
All right, cool. And, you know, we last time we saw you in action, UFC 85, tough loss for you. I mean, everything that went into it, you know, and afterwards with the injury. Update us. I know you've updated us on your blog a couple of weeks ago, but update us on how you're feeling right now.
I feel great physically, all except for my knee. I totally tore the MCL, partially tore the PCL, and I think they're both healing themselves faster than normal, I would say. At least that's what the doctors tell me. So I had a 5 to 10% chance of the MCL healing itself, and I think it's doing it, and so is the doctor. But I go in for an MRI, another MRI, in about 3 weeks to find out for sure. So I've got a nice knee brace. I wear it when I do anything physical, but you know, I'm one of those guys that I'm gonna live my life, and if I want to ride a four-wheeler or grapple around with the guys, I will.
At any point, was there any thought that this might be career-threatening?
Well, I didn't know. I had no idea, but I figured with the way the medical field is now, where they can take ligaments and stuff out of cadavers, I didn't think it would. I really never put much thought into it to be, you know, career threatening. I just knew that, you know, I would do anything I could not to go under the knife and not to have that surgery if I could.
Now, like I said, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was around July 23rd, on your website, a great website, you mentioned that you're looking at 6 to 7 months in terms of getting back to the octagon. If my math is correct, that would be around February or March of 2009. Is that still what you're shooting for at this point?
I've actually moved that up. I'd love for it to be like in January or something. With the weight of my knee is now, with that brace on, I do feel I can ride a bike and do some light grappling and stuff. So I can definitely get in shape. But the whole fact is, you know, without that brace on, in that fight, is my knee going to be all right? So I'll learn a lot in the next 3 to 4 weeks after I get the MRI, after I get it read, and the doctors tell me exactly what is going on inside that knee.
By no means are you, you know, an old guy. I mean, you're only 34 years old. You've accomplished so much in this sport. Is it even worth it to go through all this? You know, you have one fight left on your UFC contract. We all know how much you love to be at home and work on the farm and all that. Is it tough for you to dig down deep and now kind of reinvent yourself after this tough injury when, you know, you're kind of approaching that point in your career where you're thinking about at some point calling it quits?
Well, no matter what happens, if I fight again or not, I still want to be able to play with my kids, work on the farm, so I need a healthy knee no matter what. So I got to go through this to make sure this knee is 100% for the rest of my life. So, I mean, that is going to happen for sure. Now that I got my own gym down there and I'm training guys anyway, I might as well train myself and fight again. I've lost two in a row now, and I'm not that type of guy to go out of this sport with a loss on his record in his last fight.
All right, so if Dana White comes up to you, all right, Matt, you know, you've got your last fight here, and I'm offering you a dream contract. You've been the best employee there is. Are you still picking Matt Serra at this point?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Him and I have a lot of what I would say unfinished business, because he ran his mouth the way he did in that reality show. So, yeah, he's one of those guys that would be easy to train for. You know, every time I walked in the gym to get ready for him, I definitely worked my tail off.
Is Matt Serra going to wait for you to heal up and for potentially that January fight, or are you hearing that he might have a tune-up fight before then?
I have no idea. The UFC hasn't said anything about really Matt Serra or anything like that, so I don't know what his plans are. I just hope he doesn't retire before I get to face him.
Let me ask you this quick question, because we all know everything that happened on the reality show. We know the beef between you two guys. And, you know, we know that in mixed martial arts and combat sports, there's always some, you know, some hype involved, people trying to sell fights. But this hatred between you two guys, it's very real. I think no one doubts that. Why do you think that is? Why do you think he has such a big problem with you?
Because, you know, first off, I don't know. But the only thing I can come up with is maybe he got picked on, and whoever was picking on him was like me. But I don't know. You know, the problem I would have with him is him running his mouth. And we're just so much different. You know, I grew up where you didn't talk about somebody behind the back. You didn't cuss. You didn't do all this. You didn't mock somebody. And I guess he wasn't raised that way. So, I mean, it's all on how you were raised. And I was growing up in the Midwest here, and you just, you treated people like you wanted to be treated. And he's just so much different than I am.
We've seen him, obviously, and you guys talk, you know, through the media, but have you guys actually ran into each other face to face, no cameras there, and actually tried to settle your differences?
Nope. I'm the type of guy, if I don't like somebody and I'm around them in some type of a setting like that, I don't hear them, I don't see them, I don't talk to them. So if we were ever somewhere where that would be, I wouldn't even want to go around him. Nor if I did have to be around him in a room, I wouldn't pay attention to him whatsoever.
You've obviously had great wars in this sport. I mean, the likes of George St. Pierre, Frank Trigg. I mean, guys that you've faced on multiple occasions. But would you say that when all is said and done, the one guy that you'll kind of have that sour taste in your mouth about would be Matt Serra?
Definitely have a bad taste in my mouth with Matt Serra, you know, and Frank Trigg as well, you know, with all he had to say, you know, trying to get me to fight him again and just all the crap that came out of his mouth was just so ridiculous that, you know, he was an easy guy to train for as well.
So the Trigg beef hasn't died yet?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying in the past that was an easy fight to get ready for, and he left a bad taste in my mouth. Yes, anymore if I saw Frank, I don't know that I would talk to him, but I wouldn't snob him or anything. Heck, I beat him twice, both times in under 5 minutes. I mean, I can definitely look him in the eyes and kind of have a smile on the inside of my head.
I don't know if you noticed this, but Dana White has actually said that, I believe it's your second fight against Frank Trigg. That's his you know, his most favorite fight in the history of the UFC or MMA. Did you actually know that?
Yeah, he told me that. He said he used to watch that fight once a day. Now, I think he was probably just pulling my chain with that comment. But, you know, he just says it's such a deal where, you know, Frank hit me low and I was kind of out of it. And then I came back and won. You know, like I did, that's what he liked about it. I don't know if it had really much to do with me being in the octagon. I think it was the fact that there was a fighter that was hit low and was just about out and had a terrific turnaround. So, I mean, that's why Dana likes the fight so much.
All right, let me quickly ask you, the last time we saw you competing, again, like I said, UFC 85 against Thiago Alves, and we all know about Thiago not making weight. Found it very interesting after the bout that he even gave a speech to Dana White saying, you know, Dana, I've been a good boy. Please give me that title shot. Looking back now on how all that went down, how disappointing was it when you initially found out that, you know, after all that time training and cutting weight and doing what you needed to do to be prepared for that fight, that Thiago comes in overweight and then eventually defeats you?
Well, I really don't know that I could turn around and say I would do anything different. I was, you know, just a little disappointed with Thiago because he came in way overweight and you know, don't even know if he ever even planned on making that weight. But, you know, so, I mean, it's one of those things to where that's a sport. People can do that. And, you know, if that's what he wanted to do and come in with that just that little bit of advantage, then that was up to him, you know. But you know, he's got to remember that he's got to make that weight, because if he's ever in for a title shot, if he's not at the weight, it won't be a title bout. So that was the bad thing with him. So it's something he's got to think about in the future.
When you first found out that he wasn't able to make weight, was there any thought in your mind to not take the bout in London?
No, not really. I trained so hard. You know, if I don't take that fight, then I'm out of paycheck as well. You know, and when you only fight 2 to 3 times a year, you know, that one paycheck is a big deal. So, you know, there was no chance of me not taking that fight.
Weight issues aside, were you impressed with Thiago? I mean, do you consider him now maybe, you know, at least top five in the UFC's welterweight division?
Oh, I don't know if I'd say that. Thiago is definitely, you know, an impressive guy. He's young. He's got a lot going on. He's obviously worked on things. But, you know, it'd be interesting with him and George, definitely. But, you know, I don't know where he'd stack up, to be honest. It's one of those things to where I don't live and breathe the UFC. I think you've probably heard a little bit. I got a 2-year-old girl running around my house here. I've got my farm that I love to be on, my twin brother. So, I don't even know. I don't even know if I could name you right now five UFC welterweights.
Really? That's interesting. Okay, well, two of the top guys, at least in that welterweight division, John Fitch and George St. Pierre, going at it this Saturday night. I noticed on your website you're picking GSP. Why is that?
I just think GSP wins in all categories. I don't think John can out-wrestle him. I don't think John can out-strike him. And I don't think that John can out-grapple him. So when somebody wins, and I think all those are pretty much well going to be on John's or George's side, and convincingly. And I just think he's got all the advantage going into the fight.
Do you think right now, George St. Pierre, I mean, after everything that went down with him, you know, mentally and all that, are you impressed with the way he's sort of reinvented himself now and kind of come back stronger?
Yeah, he's done a good job in everything he's done in the past here. You brought up a good point, though, mentally, where is he at? And people don't realize how mentally tough this sport is. So, I mean, it all depends on who shows up. The mentally tough George St. Pierre that comes in with a good game plan, or the George that we saw against Matt Serra the first time that didn't have much of a game plan and didn't really look like he was in shape. So, I mean, you just got to have that mentally tough George come in that's in shape and ready to go.
You're actually going to be there, right? You're going to be in Minnesota?
Correct.
Are you looking for, I mean, obviously that's a big fight just, you know, because it's your weight class, but obviously Brock Lesnar, which I'm sure you take some interest just due to his wrestling background. Are you interested in seeing how he'll kind of rebound from the Frank Mir loss and take on a veteran of the sport in Heath Herring?
I'm more excited for that fight than the GSP fight, no doubt about it. Brock's a friend of mine, trained with him before, and you talk about a heck of an athlete. That guy is an athlete. So, I mean, yeah, I'm very excited about that. The bad thing for Herring is that if he's close enough to punch Brock, Brock's close enough to take him down.
Do you think Brock actually has a chance, though?
I think Brock's the favorite.
Brock is the favorite, really, because a lot of people are thinking that, you know, due to Herring's history in the sport and his great resume, Brock, obviously, this is just his third fight and still, you know, showed some signs that he wasn't a complete MMA fighter in the Frank Mir fight. But nevertheless, you're still picking Brock in this one.
Yes, I am. I just think his athleticism is gonna outweigh anything that Herring brings to the table.
Okay, cool. Let me quickly ask you before I let you go. Obviously, you wrote the book this past year. Were you pleased with everything that went into it and aftermath, you know, in terms of the accolades that you received and how the finished product came out?
Yeah, I am. I'm definitely happy with it. And, you know, I'm not a big book guy, but one thing that I really liked and that I got compliments on and loved to hear was the fact that people say, hey, I'm not a book guy. I don't buy books. I don't read books, but I picked your book up. And I read it in one setting. So when people say that, that really means something to me.
Randy Couture, another great MMA fighter, came out with the next big book following yours. Do you actually even, you know, have any interest in reading it, seeing how it measures up against yours?
No, I don't really. I had a friend read it, and they said it was all about how great Randy is. And I know how great Randy is, so I don't need to have a book say it to me 50 times in a row on you know why Randy is one of the greatest heavyweights of all time. So nothing. I'm not trying to diss the book or this and that. It's just that, you know, that's not the type of book I want to sit down and read.
If you don't mind me asking, could I quickly get your take on, you know, the whole Randy Couture UFC situation? Because obviously there's been an update yesterday. It keeps on evolving, and now it doesn't look to be really in favor of Randy.
Well, to be honest, I don't keep up with it. I don't know what's going on. What you just said to me now is news to me. Like I said, I don't live and breathe this sport, and I really just don't keep up on it. Don't go to the websites and look. But, you know, Randy didn't want to fight for the UFC anymore. So he kind of, from what I know, he kind of stepped away. Now the UFC is suing him, saying you can't go anywhere but fight for us. And, you know, I'm kind of stuck in the middle. You know, UFC's treated me great, and I signed that contract. You know what I'm saying? No doubt about it. But I kind of see Randy's side, too, where he wants to go somewhere else. But, you know, Randy signed that contract, and if that contract is binding him to the UFC, then he's going to live up to it.
Randy obviously has his sights set on maybe fighting for Affliction against Fader. You have one fight left on your contract, and this is a pretty solid time to be a free agent in this sport. Any chance we would ever see Matt Hughes, if the money is right, go fight for another promotion?
I don't think so. I really don't. UFC's have just been so good to me. I think that after I get done fighting, I would probably find another job doing something else besides competing. And so we'll see. But as of right now, no, you won't. Just UFC is definitely treated me like family, and that's just the way I feel.
All right. Well, he is Matt Hughes, 9-time UFC welterweight champion. Matt, best of luck to you, and, you know, on the road to recovery. We look forward to seeing you back in action January, February of 2009, and enjoy the fights this weekend.
Thank you. You guys have a good day.